Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, so we'll just roll into, I'll edit here. We'll talk a little bit author stuff and some E2D and all that, but whatever.
Yeah, should I dress up for that? Should I put on a sports coat?
I do most things casual. Anyone listening that expects sport coats, come on, I did a whole podcast with something in my teeth. So,
because I can just quickly do this.
There you go. Transformation.
There, dress it up a little.
Now you're more dressed than I am. All right. So, Mark, now that you're ready for the important business side of things, let's talk a little bit about your writing and that. So, when you write, what services and software do you like to use?
So, at the core basic, I start with Word. That's where I compose most of my manuscripts. I will then use a combination of services. I am familiar enough with book layout, so when I do it myself, I end up getting it into Adobe. I use InDesign. My book covers will come from typically a professional designer who does the front cover, but I can design the rest of it myself because I used to run a printing service. I know how to do this. And I do the interior in through Adobe as well for the layout when I'm not working with a publisher. And yeah, I will publish direct to Kindle. When I'm doing it myself, I go to Kindle Direct Publishing. I will go to Kobo Writing Life, having helped create that platform. I'm a little bit partial to it.
Right.
And I've long been using Draft to Digital for distribution and even my conversion. So what I'll do is I'll take the Word document, use Draft to Digital to convert it, download my EPUB from there, and then upload that to Kindle and Kobo. And Google Play, of course, where I go direct. And so those are the four major platforms that I use for pretty much all my books. So my Canadian Werewolf series, for example, I have a friend of mine who's a science fiction writer, Canadian science fiction writer, Scott Overton, who is a retired radio personality.
Nice.
Scott does the audiobooks for Canadian Werewolf, so I pay him for those. And I use Findaway Voices to distribute the audiobook. And then I'll use Ingram Spark to get the hardcover distributed wide. I usually do a hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook so that I can have all the major formats. What I still haven't done is I haven't done large print yet, but one of these days I'll get around to getting those out because I know there are readers who want a large print book and want to make it available for them.
I've got a couple kids with sight and vision difficulties, so I've always wanted to make sure I get large print out and audiobooks and things. So
Yeah, it makes sense. And not everyone's going to like reading on a Kindle or Kobo or Nook where every book is large print. They're going to want the tactile experience of a physical book. And yeah, I got to get my act together. Now that I don't own a Mac, so using Vellum was challenging. But now that Dave Chesson has released Atticus.io, I'll probably be able to make some large print versions easily using that software.
Yeah, I've been playing around with it a bit and going through the community. So you've been writing for a while and you write nonfiction also.
Yeah.
So you've got both sides going on. What are some things you've learned that you're doing different now than you used to when you were starting out?
I think so. Some of the things that I've learned are, it's funny. I tell people things and then I don't follow my own advice for years, like writing in a series. I originally released Canadian Werewolf in New York in 2016. It wasn't until 2019 that I started to release other books in the series that the sales really took off. It was like prior to then, I think I sold more in 2019 than I sold between 2016 and 2018.
Wow.
Just because I started that second book in the series. So that's one of the bits of advice that is like, wow, I should have listened to what I was telling other people to do. But I think the other thing that I do, and I apply this a lot to my nonfiction, is I have tried to take an approach to be inclusive for writers. And so with my book, The 7 P's of Publishing Success, for example, or even Wide for the Win, which is about publishing your books wide to the platforms, is I've taken an approach that I haven't seen yet in the industry from anyone else. Traditional publishers will stick with traditional publishing stuff. Indie authors will stick with indie author publishing stuff. And it seems like there's this big divide between the two. And I've long been a hybrid author since 2004 when I first ventured into self-publishing. First book or first story was published in 92. I grew up in traditional publishing, but then I embraced self-publishing early, 10 years before all the cool kids discovered it. And so what I try to do is I try to apply in my wide approach, for example, wide to me isn't just KDP exclusive versus other ebook stores. Wide is embracing the possibilities. There may be stories you sell to publishers. There may be other ones you keep for yourself. There may be books you sell to publishers because, let's be honest, as much as I know about the industry, and I've been in it since 92, I can get print books available through print on demand, but getting books into bookstores, I can't do that without a significant investment of time or tens of thousands of dollars to actually offset print the books and put them in warehouses. And so I recognize it's why, for example, that my True Ghost Story books with Dun Dern, I love having a traditional publisher for those. I can't get the books into bookstores, but they've got my books in the chain bookstores, indie bookstores, academic bookstores. They've gotten them in the Costco. They've gotten them in the Walmart. In fact, when I was at 20 Books Vegas 2 years ago, I went into a Barnes & Noble to see a couple friends of mine who were doing a book signing through Bain Books, through one of their traditionally published books. And I meandered into the occult section because I wanted to say, there's haunted places in Vegas. I should go look for some books. And lo and behold, there was Haunted Hospitals from Dun Dern, one of my books, like a Canadian publisher, like way down in Vegas, you know, nice. Farther side of the continent. And I could never have done that if that was self-published, because Dun Dern actually has traditional distribution and warehousing, and they take care of all that stuff. So for me, being open to the possibilities of what I can do myself and what I can partner with either other authors or publishers, being open to those possibilities was something I would have gone back and told my younger self, be open, nice. Be willing to experiment.
And you're not just an author and saying those things. I don't know if everybody listening would know all your background in the publishing. So give us a brief, we've mentioned Kobo and that. Give us a brief what you do on this side of it, the author, the publishing side of it.
Sure. So when I graduated from university, 1992, I got my very first job in the book as a part-time bookseller, seasonal Christmas help. I got bit by the book bug. I've worked in almost every kind of bookstore since then. The only two kind of bookstores I haven't worked for are used bookstore or Christian bookstore. But I've worked in academic, I've worked in indie, I've worked in chain, I've worked in big box, online bookstores, ebook stores. I did work for Kobo for 6 years, created Kobo Writing Life for them, a solution for self-published authors. I've run a bookstore that had an espresso book machine, which is a book that'll print and bind a book in 15
minutes. We've got one of those in Cincinnati. I'm going down there in January and printing my book out. Just to do it.
Well, and if you have books available through Ingram Spark or Draft Digital Print, for example, they'll be listed in the Espresso catalog, and you could go in and order one of your books right from the bookstore. I did that in Manhattan at Shakespeare and Company a few years ago for a friend of mine. I've done it. I was in Italy, of all places, in a Mondadori bookstore, which is a major chain in Italy, in Milan. And I walked in and I ordered a copy of Campus Chills, the first anthology I self-published. And it was so cool. I walked into a bookstore in Italy and was able to get one of my books. So you got to do that with one of yours.
Yeah, I got to do it. Yeah. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I've been president of the Canadian Booksellers Association, and I do consult for Draft to Digital as well as the director of business development there. I spend a lot of my time when I'm not an author, about half of my time, helping other authors, consulting and helping them understand the business of writing and publishing. And that, I think, is one of my passions, is recognizing, yeah, we're so excited about the stories we tell. We want, you know, everyone to read our books. Of course, we don't. We want the right people to read our books because they're going to love them. The other one, it's going to be like pineapple on pizza. You're like, no.
Thank you for saying that. I'm going to tell my wife that. Okay.
it's like pineapple on pizza. If I say that, half the audience is going to go, oh my God, you got to have it. And the other people, are you out of your mind? And the same thing is for books, right? It's like pineapple on pizza. Some might be... one person's pineapple on pizza is a great thing, and the other one, it's not. But I want to help authors recognize that books, as much as we're passionate about the stories we tell and we get so excited about the craft and doing everything right, is we have to recognize that there are those relationships. Bookstores are businesses as much as they are wonderful places that you and I and families love to go and visit and hang out in. They're businesses. They got to pay the rent. It's not just go in and look at the books and stuff like that. It's those books have to pay the rent. And I used to say that when I was a bookstore manager. I'm like, these books don't pay the rent. they're out. We're evicting them. We're going to return them to the publishers. We get new books in. We need to pay the rent. We need to pay the utilities. And even libraries, right? The libraries, they don't sell the books, but if they're not circulated, if they're not checked out, they're wasting space and valuable resources for the libraries. And so recognizing the fundamental business is really important for authors to really clearly say, when you're pitching a book, what you're really pitching is, what book does this solve for the reader? It's obvious with nonfiction, right? I want to solve my book on an author's guide to working with bookstores and libraries. It's obvious who it's for and what problem it's going to solve. But a fiction book like Canadian Werewolf in New York, what problem does it solve? Well, I'm looking for the next great book to read. I really enjoyed Kelly Armstrong's Women of the Otherworld series. I enjoyed Jim Butcher's Dresden Files. What should I read next? This could be the answer to that question.
Right.
And that's the thing, is bringing it back down to, and I know it sounds cold and calculated, but bringing it back down to the transactional nature of business. What problem does this book solve for who? And I think that's an important aspect that a lot of us forget when we get so excited. Oh my God, my book, I'm finished it. And I got it back from my editor, and the cover designer is great. And I can't wait for everyone to read it. Recognizing, I can't wait for this kind of person who likes this to read it.
And I like that you say that, because it's a mindset thing. And we mentioned the right to market. But that's really, if nobody had said, hey, Mark, we love these Canadian Werewolf books, there wouldn't have been any real reason to write anymore. Nobody really liked it. But I know what you're going to say. I know where you're going on this.
you can read my mind.
but you also have to get them out there in front of people, to the right people. Because
that
you have to get enough up the hill, slow charge thing. Right. 10 people may read the first one, but if you come out with a third one, 300 people may read it. So you got that weird balance that you got to write what you love, but you also have to find the right place for it in the market.
Yeah, I like to think of it like a Venn diagram, right? If you can combine passion writing with writing that people want to read, then that's where the proper right to market is for me, because you're writing to market without jeopardizing yourself. Because I could write to market and suffer through the experience of writing stuff. A lot of writers start off writing because they want to write the types of books they want to read, the stories they want to read. Or they saw a movie or read a book and went, oh, I had such a different ending plan for that. Write one. Well, do your ending the way you want it to. Own it. Take it, right? Because there's no new stories. There's no original stories. There's just the way a writer tells it. And even when I know and I can predict the ending, if I'm enjoying the characters and the dialogue and the story, I don't care that I know how this is going to end. I don't care, because I'm just enjoying the experience. I know on the roller coaster, I know I'm going to be safe when I get to the end.
You hope.
But I love the experience of, oh my God, I'm going to die.
You've worked with Kobo, and now you work with Drafted Digital a lot. And both of those aren't Kindle. And I know a lot of people get stuck with Kindle. Oh, that's where it is. That's the market.
Yeah.
You probably could have pursued that. You probably could have went and said, hey, I've done this. I want to work with Kindle, and now I'm working with Amazon and whatever. But you didn't. What are some things you liked about both Kobo and Drafted Digital, and that you could tell authors, hey, these are good reasons to branch out?
Yeah, it's not that I don't work with Kindle. I do work with Kindle. All my books are available on Kindle through Amazon. What I don't do is I don't exclusively only work with them and forsake all others. I'm open in my approach. And one of the reasons is I am in Canada, and I own many Kobo e-readers. Obviously, when I worked there, I ended up acquiring quite a few of them, but I continue to buy them.
So Mark kind of walked out with one in his pocket? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We had access to it. Every once in a while, we would get one when you first start the company, to give you one. And then over the years, you could buy them at a discount and stuff like that. And even just so we could test them and try them out before they released to the market. But ever since I left in 2017, I've still bought two Kobos since then, because I read on the Kobo device. And so if a book is not available on Kobo, I'm not going to buy it as an ebook. If I want the print book, I'll buy it from a local independent bookstore. I can order it online at Amazon or any of the other online bookstores. And so that's the one thing I will tell people is, and I did, I've always had a book exclusive to Amazon since the day they launched Kindle Unlimited, that exclusivity program. I was sitting in the Kobo office. They announced their exclusivity program. I quickly slapped together a book and I put it in the program. And I have circulated numerous books through their exclusivity program over the years, mostly to experiment with them as an author myself, to see how it works or doesn't work, mostly so I could just have insights, because you can't I've always told my son, you don't tell me you don't like a food unless you've tried it.
Exactly.
And for me personally, I've tried it and I don't like it. It's not for me. I know it's for other people. And I know there are authors who can make really good money just focusing only on Amazon and exclusively on Amazon. There are authors that friends of mine that they're making publishing of those platforms, but it doesn't work for me. And so I prefer to be available in different formats. So I think that's one of the challenges. I think the other thing a lot of people forget is, yes, Amazon is the world's biggest bookstore. Yes, it's dominant in the US and maybe the UK as well. But there are other retailers that are available in countries Amazon is not available in. Kobo and Google and Apple, for example, are available in platforms in countries that Amazon is not available in. Smashwords is available in those countries and Amazon's not available in those countries. So if you're not on those platforms, 100% guarantee you're never going to sell books in those countries. 100% of readers in those countries are never going to find your book. If you don't have books available in paperback format, 100% of readers who don't read paperback are not going to be able to read your books. And so I always look at the opportunity. I know I'm not a big enough name. No one's going to go from one platform. If they're an Apple reader only and I'm only on Amazon, they're not going to go, well, I got to get that Mark Leslie book. I better change where I buy my books. No, they're going to go, oh, there's other books. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other books I can read. Who's this Mark who? So that's the attitude I've always taken is I just want, if somebody wants to be able to read one of my books, they should be able to read it in whatever format. And again, I've failed on that because I haven't released everything in large print yet. But my goal is to, and this goes back to, a mantra that the original CEO of Kobo, Mike Cerbenis, used to say, is that anyone should be able to read any book on any platform at any time. And that's kind of what I keep in the back of my mind is for any of my books, you should be able to read any of my books at any time in whatever format you want. And then we both win.
And that's what I'm guessing drove your decision to move over and help draft the digital. And I know in the last couple of years, Kevin was telling us at the Career Author Summit, so many things that draft to digital. It's like, why would people not do this?
Yeah. I think it was great. Kobo was great. I loved Kobo. I still love the people there. I'm still friends with the people at Kobo. But when I left Kobo I thought I was going to write full time, but I realized I couldn't. I'd always admired the people from draft to digital. And so the opportunity to focus not just on a single retailer, but draft to digital works with everyone. Focus on that was, oh my God, that was such a rewarding experience. It meant, fortunately, because I only work part-time, it allows me the time to write, which I'm really passionate about. But it also allows me to work with really smart people who are passionate about building tools for authors. And again, all the authors' tools that he builds are free. And draft to digital only makes money if authors are successful. So they keep 10%. And some authors see that as, oh, you're taking 10% from me. While other ones go, yeah, but I can use your platform for free and that 10% is worth my time of not having to create an account at every single retailer, right, for example.
Yeah. So you, besides your fiction, you have a bunch of nonfiction you've done. Most recently, I believe, was the one with Joanna you collaborated on.
The Relaxed Author, yeah.
So even in your writing, you're helping other authors. That's your focus and your mission. Why choose to do both? Why write nonfiction to help authors? And why write fiction that people read for fun?
Great question. It's the reason I have a podcast, the reason I've got, six of my own books and then a couple co-authored books, like the last one I did with Joanna, is I have been working with authors and helping authors for dozens of years. As a bookseller, I was always working with authors anyways. I'd come into the store and I'd meet them over the years. And I want to see them successful. I want more authors to be successful. One of the reasons I'll want to write a book, I've said things as a professional speaker, as a industry representative, a book nerd, whatever. I have said things hundreds of times. I realize that most people have never heard them. And so I often will get the same questions over and over again. So it's like one of the things is I do know some people are auditory learners, some are visual learners, some are experiential learners, and some are learners from reading. And we all learn different ways. So making a book available allows learners who prefer to read it and ingest it in their own way, another way of getting it. It's also a way of me saying, okay, here are some things I've learned, mistakes I've made. I've made lots of them. Here are the things that I know about the industry, and I'm going to share that with you so you can adapt that for your own needs. So that's one of the reasons. The other thing is, I, like David Goggren, perhaps, one of my passions is helping writers elude the corrupt people and the crooks and the companies that are out there to try to trick and deceive authors out of their money by selling them a $10,000 marketing package that's useless, making them promises that are complete and outright lies. I want to see them destroyed. They're evil. I like them, the superhero who wants to fight against them as much as I can. And so every little bit of information where I can provide authors saying, look, you have these options. You have these choices. You can work with publishers. You can work with Kindle. You can work with Kobo. You can work with Draft Digital. You have all these choices. You're in charge. You're the one with power, not anyone else. Don't give them the power, right? Like those kinds of things. If I can infect them with some knowledge and insights, even a little bit that saves them time and anxiety and pain, man, what a great place to be.
Oh, I love that. And that's why I started this podcast, is because I kept hearing interviews with known authors over and over again, or I'd get on the groups and you'd hear, oh, I've made $500,000 my first 6 months of the year. And I'm like, I can't relate. So I wanted a podcast that people who are working and kids and struggling to get one book done would say, oh, I'm not the only one. These guys are that way. So yeah, I got that same thinking. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, your podcast and probably mine as well, because I'm not a six-figure author. I'm more like the average author as I work my butt off and I have some readers and I make some sales and I do okay, but I'm not flying first class around the world and sipping champagne every morning for breakfast while a waiter comes around and does stuff for me. You know, I'm more like that average person who's like, I got to get my son out of bed and get him ready for school.
All right, Mark, I appreciate you taking so much time to talk today about your book and the author business. So before we go, do you have any last minute advice you would give to new authors out there, like I said, that are just now hearing about your writing and Draft to Digital and they're struggling, they want to get something out? What would you tell them?
I would say, listen to that storyteller, that passionate person inside of you that wants to write the stories that you want to read, that wants to express your creativity, and don't give up on that person. Give them an opportunity. And that person is going to probably meet with resistance and probably going to meet with failure. But just like in any good story, there are a number of try fails before the climactic success where you win. Don't give up on yourself before you get to that, because it takes a lot of time. It takes patience. It takes practice and it takes persistence. And it takes a long-term view, which is not looking at your Amazon dashboard every 5 minutes. It's butt in chair, fingers on keyboard, getting the next book out, listening to your podcast, Joanna Penn's podcast, listening to things and other opportunities that are available, and experimenting, because eventually over time, the right person who loves pineapple on pizza is going to discover you and your book is going to change their life.
Wonderful. Great. I love that. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.